From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text comes from Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28. Only ye shall not go very far away. This is a crafty word from the lip of the arch-tyrant Pharaoh. If the poor bondaged Israelites must needs go out of Egypt, then he bargains with them that it shall not be very far away, not too far for them to escape the terror of his arms and the observation of his spies. After the same fashion, the world loves not the nonconformity of nonconformity, or the dissidence of dissent. It would have us to be more charitable, and not carry matters with too severe a hand. Death to the world and burial with Christ are experiences which carnal minds treat with ridicule, and hence the ordinance which sets them forth is almost universally neglected, and even condemned. Worldly wisdom recommends the path of compromise, and talks of moderation. According to this carnal policy, purity is admitted to be very desirable, but we are warned against being too precise. Truth is, of course, to be followed, but error is not to be severely denounced. Yes, says the world, be spiritually minded by all means, but do not deny yourself a little gay society, an occasional ball, and a Christmas visit to the theater. What's the good of crying down a thing when it is so fashionable and everybody does it? Multitudes of professors yield to this cunning advice to their own eternal ruin. If we would follow the Lord wholly, we must go right away into the wilderness of separation and leave the Egypt of the carnal world behind us. We must leave its maxims, its pleasures, and its religion too, and go far away to the place where the Lord calls his sanctified ones. When the town is on fire, our house cannot be too far from the flames. When the plague is abroad, a man cannot be too far from its haunts. The further from a viper, the better, and the further from worldly conformity, the better. To all true believers, let the trumpet call be sounded. Come ye out from among them. Be ye separate.
Oh,
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet, what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Each CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Reconciliation with God, Personal, Perfect, and Permanent. The text is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The first thing we see in this passage is the need for sinners to be reconciled to God. In his natural, unsaved state, man is actively opposed to God. Indeed, he is God's enemy, refusing what God says about him and the manner in which God says sinners must be saved. With an utterly depraved will, man invariably makes wrong choices, producing wicked works. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Returning to Colossians chapter 1, we come this morning to verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The gospel revelation shows the Lord Jesus Christ as head over all things, the one in whom all created things have their being, the one by whom all created things hold their peculiar place in the order and scheme of creation. The gospel revelation sets forth Christ not only as the Redeemer of men, but as the Restorer of the entire universe. You see, in Adam's fall, the whole creation fell. In Adam's curse, the entire course of nature was cursed. And so, in Christ's redemption, the entire scope of Adam's fall was reversed, and Christ the Redeemer purchased the restoration of the entire creation, every area of God's creation that had fallen under the curse of man's sin. Now, at first, that would give you the impression of universalism, that therefore everybody must end up being saved. That is not so, and I need to emphasize it because we're living in a day of universalism making a comeback, and this time not in liberal churches, at least not in avowedly liberal churches. They have always held to old-fashioned universalism, that everybody will end up being saved. But now it's getting into evangelical churches, and you have a resurrection through a theological line of neo-orthodoxy. If that doesn't convey anything to you at the moment, don't worry. It's simply the jointure of liberalism with evangelicalism in a way that is bringing this heresy of universalism to acceptance among people who ought to know better. The Bible does not teach that all men will be saved. In fact, it teaches the very opposite, and it makes clear that all men will not be saved. No one was more adamant about that. No one spoke more frequently about it or more forcefully about it than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In all the scriptures, he is the outstanding preacher warning about the reality and the eternity and the terribleness of a never-ending hell. No preacher ever spoke as Christ spoke with such force, warning men of hell. Not all men will be saved. And so it behooves, or as you Americans will mispronounce the English language, it behooves. I don't know why I hate that pronunciation or that spelling, but I do. It behooves you and it behooves me. But every one of us, to make very sure that we have a personal interest in Christ's redeeming work, that the merits of the blood of Christ have actually been personally applied to our hearts, that we can not only say he is the shepherd, but he's my shepherd. He's not only the Savior, He is my Savior. He not only purchased redemption, He purchased my redemption. Not only is there power in His blood, but I know and have experienced the power that is in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must personally be assured of a saving interest in the redeeming work and merit of Christ and His cross. Paul makes this clear in the passage we have been reading by very deftly going from the cosmic aspect of Christ's work to the personal aspect. We have already looked at, in the foregoing verses, at that cosmic aspect. And having looked at Christ as the restorer of all creation, Paul now, in the words of our text in verse 21 and 22, comes down to the personal level. He says, "You, who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." What He's telling the Colossian believers here is that once you were cut off from God by your sin, but now He has reconciled you to Himself by the death of His own incarnate Son. And having reconciled you, He purposes to set you forth before all His creatures in the glory of sinless perfection. And in token of that, He now firmly grounds you in the faith of the gospel, and He keeps you from being moved away from it. Now that's a huge statement, but that's the statement of our text this morning. So I want us to turn to these verses. The subject is simply put. It's not a simple subject, but it's simply put. It's briefly put, though it's not a brief subject either. I want to talk to you this morning about reconciliation with God. Reconciliation with God. Personal, perfect, and permanent. And as Paul deals with this subject, he sets forth three great truths that will highlight the need for reconciliation, the nature of reconciliation, and the purpose, goal, or result of reconciliation. So we start at the beginning. Dealing with the need for reconciliation, he speaks of our past enmity with God. Notice how he puts it in verse 21. You were sometime. The word simply means once or formerly. You were formerly alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. What he's saying is you were estranged from God and made foreign to God. But of course, the other side of that coin is equally true. As the result of your sin, God stood estranged from you and made foreign to you. As he says to the Ephesians, you were aliens. Here he says, you were, in verse 21, alienated. You were made strangers and enemies to God. In other words, you were His creatures, but you were not His people. You were cut off from His fellowship, even though He is omnipresent and none can ever escape His presence, yet you were cut off from His fellowship. Worse than that, you were positively His enemies, living in active, willful, wretched, constant hostility to God. Living in open and willful rebellion against God, defying His will, fighting against His rule, seeking to overthrow His purpose. He says, formerly, we took the field against our Creator and our benefactor. This is where we once stood. Now, this is the common state of sinners. You see, there are people, and perhaps some here this morning, And you'd have to take out the formerly here. Every Christian can say, formerly, once upon a time, but no longer. Formerly I was alienated from God. I was a stranger to God. I was an enemy of God. But what about those people? And this is still their state. Still strangers, still aliens, still enemies. It's difficult for us to see people in this light. We tend to judge after the flesh. We look at people as they appear. We are taken by their face or their physique. We are taken by how they dress, how they sound. We are impressed by their education, by their brains, by their talent. We are impressed by their skill. They may kick a ball better than somebody else or throw a ball better than somebody else. And we talk about all these wonderful things that men can do. And I'm not saying that these are not impressive things about people. But I'm saying we can be so wrapped up in looking at men from the outward aspect that we forget that that person with all the talent and that person with all those wondrous good looks and that person with that brilliant intellect are living in wicked, constant rebellion against God until they get to Christ. That they use all that God has given them, the body with all its strength, the brain with all its virility, the intelligence, the ability to write, to speak, to communicate, to influence people, the talents, the skills with which they make an impression on people, they employ them all as enemies of God in a constant warfare against Christ and his kingdom, in a perpetual attempt to establish a rule other than Christ, to draw not only their own souls, but to draw others away from God and away from his Christ. What a way to live. You're either for Christ or you're against him. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either his friend or his enemy. You're either laboring in and for his kingdom or you're laboring outside and against his kingdom. An enemy of God, alienated in your mind by wicked works. Make sure today that you're not taking the very benefits and blessings with which God has crowned your being and using them as instruments of sin and weapons of rebellion against the very God who has created you and blessed you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.